Hi, I'm Ella Shawn, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest. You're listening to Enchanted Beast Podcast. Today's episode, Freaky Friday, You're Never Too Old to Play. Ella explores the kinkier side of intimacy. Enchanted Friday! It's Freaky Friday, my beast. And I am so excited to be here today. Thanks for joining me. On Wednesday, I kind of hinted that I would be talking about kink, right? That I would read some Kinktober stories. Well, let me be frank and honest. I haven't written one Kinktober story. I just have not had time. So I can't read what I don't have. But I was thinking about kink, and I thought, what if kink can be used to deepen intimacy in monogamous, long-term couples, married folk, right? Life partners, however it gets down. What if vanilla, monogamous, long-term couples integrated kink into their vanilla sex life? Would it deepen intimacy if practiced correctly? I'm going to put my vote in, but I'll let you know what my vote is at the end of the podcast. As always, Freaky Friday is covered under safe, sane, and consensual. If it's not safe, if it's not sane, if it's not consensual, it's not freaky. It's illegal. That's illegal. Okay? So everything I talk about on Freaky Friday is covered under the statute Kink 101. Sane, safe, consensual. All right. So when I think about kink, I'm like completely open to it, right? I mean, I'm not really a practitioner of kink, but I can be, I could be. I don't think I would mind, actually. I think a good portion of me is down for kink, some of it. But I think about why other women might be turned off by even admitting that they're interested in bringing a little bit of that into their lives. And unfortunately, we get most of our information from movies, fictional books, podcasts, and maybe Twitter. And in most of these cases, kink is portrayed very stereotypically. They take it to the extreme. They're showing you, you know, people in leather, trussed up, ball gagged, blindfolded, sitting in a crate, looking completely humiliated. They show you dames with, you know, poured on pleather suits and high ponytails and whips and 6-inch heels and working over a guy who's strapped to a St. Andrew's cross and his back's open and bleeding. And you're like, oh my God, that's not sexy. Those are extremes. I am inclined to believe that kink, it's like anything else. It's just, what's your taste? What's your flavor? I don't want to be tied up to a whipping post and whipped with a cat of nine tails. That's just not exciting for me. But if it's something that gets you going, fine. But for me, I don't want that. And you don't have to have it because it's not your kink. Right? I think a a lot of women are probably afraid to admit to themselves that they have kinky tendencies, right? That it's okay to want something in your sexual bed that's a little different. That's a little out of the box for you and your lover. It doesn't make you a deviant or some depraved lunatic. It certainly doesn't make you a psychotic, baby snatcher. Doesn't mean you were abused as a kid. Doesn't mean you have daddy or mommy issues. It simply means you want something a little bit different in bed, and you have a right to want that. I get it though. I mean, who wants to be associated with people who can't deal with intimacy? Who wants to be associated with people who are psychologically messed up? Who wants to be associated with people who, might be out there recruiting teenagers as submissives? Who wants to be a part of that? Nobody. But those are stereotypes. Those are not actual facts of kink. Those are stereotypes. I mean, everybody's read 50 Shades, the entire trilogy. Everybody's read all this stuff. And you have all these books with sexual dominance and I'm just a dominant. Like, they're all out there. Hell, I write about it. It's fascinating to me. The entire kink lifestyle is completely fascinating to me. I'm as fascinated with kink as I am with wolves. Because there's a system, there are rules, there are consequences, there is an order and a structure, and it all makes sense. And so, yeah, everybody's read 50 Shades, but Jesus Christ, Christian Grey was completely messed up, right? And Anna, poor girl. How do you go from being a virgin to being a submissive? That makes little or no sense. She didn't even know her own sexual mind. She had no idea what she liked, what she didn't like, what she could do. I mean, what 22, 23-year-old woman had never masturbated before? Why was she so virginal? But that is kind of what people are basing their understanding of kink on, is Christian's red room of hate, right? I mean, Anna was so afraid that if her best friend Kate found out that she was even considering going into the situation with Christian, if Kate knew what she was doing, she was so afraid that Kate would think she was crazy or that she was being abused, or she was afraid that Kate would cut her off, would exclude her from everything. She was scared that she would be ridiculed, thought of as maybe broken, like, oh, you and your mom aren't that close. You never knew your dad, so now you have daddy issues with Christian. That's what it is. She wasn't sure that it went with her moral values. She didn't seem to have much of a religious place, but I know a lot of women who are sexually repressed because of their faith systems, you know. And I get it, but not really. I mean, because the truth of kink is so varied. I would have to literally talk for 8,000 years. And I'm probably using hyperbole here, but seriously, human sexuality, human eroticism. And you want me to pick out The truth of kink. Well, I can't. I'd be lying if I said I could. I'm not even a kink practitioner, I don't think, but maybe I am. We'll find out. Who knows? But what if I said to you that at its core, kink looks something like everyone who practices this lifestyle should be well trained. There are places you can go to learn kink. So if you're into bondage, you really like being tied up, and you want your partner to go there with you. You guys can go to seminars and classes so he can learn how to restrain you, what type of rope to use, what type of restraints are great, what type of knots to tie you up in, how to get you out of them with one pull, how to make it good for you. Practitioners of kink are trained. So if you're into spanking with the hand, you want to spank your partner, and your partner says, okay, we can try it. There are classes, there are workshops you can go to so you can learn. This is a spank for pleasure. This is how you do it. This is a spank for punishment. This is how you do it. You don't want this to happen. You want that to happen. Your hand should feel like this. Whatever you're spanking should feel like that. In the kink lifestyle, there are trained practitioners because it's more about trust and intimacy than the acts. And you can't trust what you don't know, right? So, what if I said to you, there's so much flexibility in this lifestyle? It's not like if you decide you're going to implement kink, then everybody has to go into a DS relationship. There doesn't have to be a dominant. There doesn't have to be a sub. It is what it is. There's so much flexibility. Not everybody has a playroom. Who the hell can afford all that equipment? Right? Not everybody is into pain. Pain doesn't turn everybody on. Right? I mean, there is always a level, and it's flexible. There are no roles assigned to genders in this lifestyle. When you implement kink, anybody can be on the receiving end as well as the giving end. It's not like, oh, the guy has a penis, he's going to be the giver. He's going to be the top. And because you're receptive with the vagina, you're definitely a bottom. No, that's not how it works. There are no gender assigned roles. And that's pretty cool. And then there are no ideas, no set ideas of normal. I hate that. Well, that's not normal. What is normal? Normal is as normal does. And what's normal for me does not have to be normal for you. It's normal for me to be a vegetarian. It's normal for me not to consume any flesh. That's not normal for my husband. Because he's an omnivore. He's still eating meat. He still eats meat. It's normal for me to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and write as much as I can by 7 o'clock. But that's my normal. Doesn't have to be normal for you. And when you're implementing the kink lifestyle, then that's the beauty of it. There's no set notion of normal, which means there's no judgment. God, how amazing would that be? There's no set idea of what normal is, which means there's no judgment. just exploration, experience, and acceptance. Wow. And you have open, honest, clear communication when you're implementing kink. Just think about it. When's the last time you and your partner sat down and had a conversation about what your sex life was like, what you like sexually? When's the last time you and your husband went through and said, hey, babe, I have this list here of all the sex acts we could possibly do with each other. Let's go through and see what we like, what we might want to try. When'd you ever do that? Have you ever done that? I haven't. When's the last time you were clearly understood by your partner about what turned you on? When's the last time your partner listened to you and then did accordingly? Right? In kink, there's no room for not having those conversations. You have to have them because it has to be a safe environment. It has to be a sane environment, which means not only am I in my right mind, but I completely understand what is happening and what's going to happen. I also understand what can possibly happen. And we have a plan for that because I'm in a safe environment and I'm consenting. I want to be a part of this. Because the assumption is in these, you know, in our monogamous relationships, the long-term ones, I've been married for 80 years. They're not, it's just, you get in, you get out. And hope that you get to come. There's no conversation about what you want, how you want it to feel, what you want to happen before intercourse, what experiences you would like to have before intercourse, not even what kind of intercourse you want to have. The assumptions are just, we're together, we have sex. I hope you come because I'm going to. What? And kink. And I think this is what draws me to it. There's so much room for imagination and creativity. I'm a creative girl. My imagination creates entire worlds. And I write them. And I make other people believe that that world exists. You mean if I get to like hang out in Kinkville, I get to use my crazy imagination and my creativity? Plus, I get to have crazy sex. I'm down. That sounds great. I mean, to me. And it requires a lot of thought. Right? I mean, think about playing games. You and your friends, little kids, you're bored, you're sitting outside because your parents won't let you in the house. It's summertime. You're not going to mess up the house. You're not going to be running in and out, letting all the air out of the house. Go outside with your friends and find something to do. Mom, there are no toys. Find something to do. Just think about how you and your friends would sit and discuss how you can use two sticks, three good rocks, and a bucket to play a game. Think about how you all talked about what the rules would be, right? How you got a point. What happened if you were out? Think about how you used your imagination to create scenes that were not actually there, but they were there for the purpose of the game. If you go over on this side, of the house, then that's the safe space. If you run outside of the grass, you're out. Right? So now you're making up boundaries. You're setting these boundaries, and they're very clearly defined. And you guys are just creating this game using your imagination and the tools you have. And then you set out and you played. You turned 2 sticks, 3 big rocks, and a bucket into a game that lasted until the street lights came on. You're never too old to play. This is what your sex life should be like. This is what kink will do for your sex life. How so, you say? Well, let's say you roll up to your partner and you say, "Hey, I have 1 vibrator, a blindfold, and a set of easy cuffs. What game can we play?" Now, you guys are talking. You're communicating because you're trying to think, now what can we do with the blindfold and the easy cuffs and the vibe, right? What are the rules? How do you know I don't want to play anymore? What's the point of the game, right? And then you all have worked it out. You've used your imagination. You've created this amazing game. And you say, you know, oh, if you do this and that happens, then you're out. But if you do this and that happens, then you get a reward, baby. How much fun would sex be if we treated it like when our moms kicked us out of the house in the summer? Go play with your friends. Find something to do. Go play with your partner. Find something to do. Right? Open to imagination and creativity. Man, that sounds amazing to me. How much thought has to go into creating those games? You are never too old to play. Now, here's my favorite part of kink. And I'm serious. Aftercare. Aftercare. I love the concept of aftercare. I mean, here's what it is in its simplest terms. It's communicating and taking care of one another after sex to ensure all parties are 100% comfortable with what went down. I got that definition from Galen Faust. She's a kink positive sex therapist. Aftercare. Now, okay, I'm going to paint this scene for you, right? You and your partner just had sex. You experienced multiple orgasms. You had like 3 back to back to back, right? Your legs are shaking. You may have blacked out, possibly. I mean, you're seeing black spots. You're dizzy. Your breath is gone. Your whole body is covered in sweat. You are a puddle of orgasmic bliss. He pulls out of you and he's on his side of the bed. You start coming to, right? Realizing, okay, it's over. And you're looking for him, right? But he's on his phone playing a game. And something in you cracks. And you want to cry. You feel anxious, like something's wrong. You're scared. You feel abandoned. Like you did something that you shouldn't have done. What is that feeling? And don't pretend you've never had it, because we all have. Every woman's had it. You're here, blissed out of your mind. And you need something from your partner. You need something to settle you, because holy cow, that was intense. But your partner is already either asleep or has gotten up to go to the bathroom or is on the phone or is getting something to eat, but they're not there. They're not giving you whatever it is that you so desperately need to deal with whatever you're dealing with. What are you dealing with? It's called postcoital dysphoria. Holy shit, that's a thing. Like that feeling of abandonment, of fear, of anxiety, of weepiness after intense sex, it's a thing. It's called postcoital dysphoria. What? In kink world, it's called the sub down. Here's the thing. When you're in this lifestyle, and say you're in this lifestyle of kink, you're practicing it with a partner, and you experience what's called subspace, right? That's that. I'm no longer here. I'm having an outer body experience. I can't believe how freaking great this is. I'm blissed out. I'm high because your body is releasing so many endorphins and adrenaline is pumping through your blood like fire. You're gone. It's as if you've taken two or three ecstasies, right? Your body is pumping oxytocin, endorphins. You are gone, blissed out. Well, when it's all done, when the scene is all done, when the sex is all done, you've had three orgasms and you are riding the bliss train, right? Well, you can't stay there forever. It's the letdown. You got crazy chemicals floating through your body. Your hormones have skyrocketed. You got estrogen shooting everywhere. You cannot stay there forever. The letdown, the adrenaline, come down. You get the shakes. You get cold, your heart might be beating faster, and the levels of endorphins are relaxing. The oxytocin is coming down, and the estrogen is calming down. That will mess you up. It will mess you up. It can be physically dangerous, definitely psychologically dangerous. If you don't have someone to take care of you after that, now be honest. How many of you actually have someone to take care of you after sex? How many of you have partners who give you aftercare? Not because you're in kink, but because he understands or she understands that you need that. In kink, it's a mandatory next step. That's the stuff that's communicated before anything ever happens. Hey, after we've figured out our game with the vibe, the blindfold, and the the quick, you know, cuffs after we play this game, right? And we get the desired results, I'm going to need you to make sure that you put the sheet over me, not the big blanket yet, just the sheet. Try not to make direct contact with my skin, but if you could lightly, you know, just lightly rub your fingers down my arm, over the sheet, and just kind of talk to me softly. Just tell me, you know, how it was for you, and check in with me. Ask me if I'm okay. Ask me if I had fun playing our game. Can you just be there near me until I'm okay? How wonderful would that be? How much more intimate does that make having sex? Because not only are you going to make sure that my physical letdown is being controlled, when my body temperature drops, you're going to give me a heavier blanket. Now, not only are you taking care of my physical, but you are making sure that I enjoyed what went down, that I had a good time. And you're going to assure me that you too enjoyed it, that we didn't wreck each other, right? We're building trust, intimacy, closeness. So, I think that's why it's my favorite part of kink. Because, I don't know. Guys complain, man, all she wants to do is cuddle afterwards. It's not a want. It is a physiological need. It is a physiological need for a woman to be cared for post-coitus. Our bodies are going through some things if you did what you were supposed to do, right? If you left me with shaking legs, yes, I need you to take care of me after that. Please? Man, this is how I'm going to put it out here. A lot of women are like, nah, that's not me. I'm not into this. I'm not into that. But you might already be into kink and not even know it. I like it when I'm on my knees and he pulls my hair as he's hitting it from behind. Kink. That's a little kinky. You like that little bit of pain. You like him exerting that control over you, holding you how he wants you. Kink. I love games and role play. We have these cards. And ooh, the stuff on those cards. Kink. Sexy truth or dare. Kink. You're already into kink. Ooh, guess what? We got these costumes. It was Halloween. And it was all on sale. Oh my gosh, he has a cop one. And I got a student one. Ooh, girl, kink. You're already into kink. You know, I'm not trying to have him, you know, paddle me or some foolishness like that. But hey. A light tap here and there never hurt anybody. Kink. You're already into kink. Right? I don't know. I really like it when I'm with my partner and they tell me exactly what to do and I do it. Kink. You're already into kink. Because it's a spectrum. It's just a spectrum. There's no difference, really, between vanilla and kink sex, right? It's just a spectrum. And again, all of this is working under the umbrella of safe, sane, and consensual. Most of you guys are already into kink, but I think you just associate it with the red room of pain. But that's the only version you can see, right? Number one complaint by women: I want more intimacy in my relationship, in my marriage, whatever. I want more intimacy. I'm going to play a word association game. Obviously, all by myself, but humor me. You ready? First word: kink. Weird. Weird. Awkward. Awkward. Uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. Change. Change. Growth. Growth. Stronger. Webster defines the word kink as weird. Weird stuff makes people awkward. It's awkward when stuff is weird. You're like, you don't know what to do. And if you're awkward, you feel uncomfortable, right? Stuff gets awkward, you start feeling uncomfortable. Like, man, what in the world? And if you're uncomfortable, more than likely, you're going to change something so that you can get back into stasis, right? Back into a comfort zone. And with that change, there's going to be some modicum of growth. And with that growth, you've gained some strength. Kink is defined as weird. Intimacy. Okay. When you can get weird with somebody and they still like you, they know you're a weirdo and they're like, yeah, it's cool. I still love you. When you're not afraid to be a complete and utter nerd, you're giving all of that weirdness to your partner, and they still love you, they still want you, they still think you're hot, you're a hot, stinking mess, and they still are into you, that's intimacy. You are a complete weirdo, but they are still into you. That is intimacy. So how do you deepen the level of intimacy with your partner? You get a little weird with them. You let them see you're a weirdo. You ask them to be weirdo with you. You get a little weird. What's another word for weird? Kink. What? How do you deepen intimacy? I want to be so intimate with my partner that on my weirdest days, when I'm just, what in the world is wrong with you? I want him to still be into me. I want my intimacies to be so deep with my partner that when he has lost his ever-loving mind and I'm looking at him like he may very well be Dr. Strange, but I'm still into him. How do you deepen intimacy? You allow the weirdness in your relationship. You talk about it. You play with it. You accept it. You don't judge it. You acknowledge it. You honor it. You accept it. I keep saying it. How do you deepen the intimacy in your relationship? You allow the weird in. Get weird with your partner. And what's synonymous with weird? What is another word for weird? Webster says kink is another word for weird. So, a few suggestions. I'm not saying go by rope and tie each other up. I'm not saying buy a ball gag so you can't speak. Don't buy a suspension swing and kill yourself. No, you can introduce kink, right? You can be weird with your partner. Make up some coupons. Give them some kink pawns. So, baby, you can redeem these whenever you want. Encourage more talking, more open communication. Be transparent. Encourage that. Right? Share what's in your spank bank, baby. Tell him some of those fantasies we talked about last week. Not just tell him, say, hey, I want to actually do that one. Right? Discuss all your sexual hang-ups. Everybody has them. Be clear with why you're so inhibited. Be honest about what scares you sexually. Right? Talk about your limits. This is what I can do. I might be willing to try that. Hell no, you're not getting anywhere near me with that idea. I found some really great links, some really great sites when I was doing my research. I'll put the links in the description, but oh my gosh, they have like a really, a couple of good worksheets that you and your partner can sit down and talk about, like, what your limits are, what your fears are, how you work through them. I was impressed. I really was. So, I think that I have hopefully opened the doors for communication as far as opening play in your sexual relationship. Ladies, you're never too old to play. Exploring kink is honestly, it's just allowing your beast to come out and play. Right? She's extremely sexual. She is an extremely sexual creature, and she loves to play. She demands room to express her sexual self. All of her desires. For her, sexual intimacy is the highest form of worship. Are you denying your beast what she needs because you're afraid of what others might think of you? Are you not allowing your enchanted beast to come out and play and frolic freely? Come on. She's accepting and open to trying anything once, twice if she likes it. Allow her to take you where you truly want to be in your sexual relationships. Because it's not about the sex, it's about the intimacy. It's about the connection. It's about the trust. It's about knowing that you and your partner care enough about each other, care so much about each other's pleasure and happiness that you are willing to learn how to be weird with each other. And you're willing to accept that you want to be weird with each other. Take care of that enchanted beast because she will take care of you. Whew, I'm tired. I am tired, but I enjoyed this. If you hear my dog, it's because my husband just got home and we have to prepare for my daughter's 18th birthday. Guys, have a great weekend. Do whatever the hell you need to do to be happy. As always, I'm Ella. Thanks for hanging out in my forest. Stay enchanted. This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.